all for Jesus, huh? Woohoo! Well, I am so excited to be with you this evening. And as Mark mentioned, it's an honor for me to be on the advisory board here at Valley. And we're just so excited what God's doing in and through us here at Valley. I'm so thankful for Mark and Kenny and Michael and all of you. I hope you're encouraged tonight. And I'm just excited and honored to be here. My wife, Carmen, and our three kids are here, Asen, Miley, and Tobin. And I don't know about you, but kids are pretty funny and they do amazing things. I heard the story of a pastor and his son were having breakfast one morning. And the little boy says to his dad, Dad, I got a question for you. The man said to his little son, yeah, okay, what? He said, before you get up and preach, every time, right before you preach, you step to the side of the, you know, lectern or the music stand and you start to pray. What are you praying about? And so the dad got really excited. This is a great time to kind of teach my son what it means to be spiritual and to have a prayer life and just really love the Lord. So he said, well, son, before I get to preach, I pray that God would give me a great message, that people would be encouraged, to be excited to live for Jesus. And the little boy, without missing a beat, he says, well, Dad, how come God never answers your prayers? So anyway, I'm excited to be here. As you can see up here on Instagram, if you can connect with me, follow me on Instagram as I follow Jesus. You know, we go to some pretty crazy places around the world, so if you want to connect with me on Instagram, that'd be great. So a lot of people ask me, they say, well, Reed, you know, you travel all around the world, you know all these different languages. I'm like, no, I can barely handle English. But one of the cool things is I've got translators, right? Translators. So I was in Dominican not too long ago, and this pastor from the Dominican told me the story. It's hilarious. He said that an American was coming in there to preach, and they couldn't find a translator to translate from English to Spanish. So the pastor gets up in front of everybody and says, hey, here's Brother Joe from America. He needs a translator. Can any of you translate? And this one guy in the back, he raises his hand. It's like, I'll do it. So the pastor brings him up. And as the message is going on, this guy's translating for American Brother Joe. And there's this woman in the front row, and she speaks English and Spanish, and she's just scratching her head as the guy's going through the message and just not making sense. Finally, at the end of the message, this woman came up to the translator, and she said, hey, you were doing a terrible job translating from what this guy was preaching. You weren't even making sense. Do you even understand English? And the guy says, well, no. He gave his message, and I gave mine. But you know, in reality, there's a lot of people who pretend to be someone or something they're not, right? And just because you're a follower of Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you're going to tell others about the Lord. You know, I want to encourage you from the bottom of my heart this evening. I want to ask you two questions. Question number one, who do you know that needs Jesus? And question number two, what are you going to do about it? You know, there was this recent survey that came out that said 90% of all Christ followers will never share Jesus with another person in their lifetime. Now, when I saw that statistic, I was shocked. So I asked all my pastor friends, I said, really, 90%? They're like, no, Reed. I said, okay, great. They said, it's more like 99%. I was shocked. Now, let me just tell you something right now. Even though things are crazy, right, with COVID, pandemic, right, civil, political unrest, here's the thing. So many people are asking this question, is there God and does he care about me? And now is a great time as followers of Jesus that we can share the good news of Jesus, right? That he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the grave. People are longing for the hope that Jesus offers. And so God wants to use your life to make a difference for eternity. I was speaking at this event, and I've seen people cry before, but this young woman came up, and she was about 16 years old. She was uncontrollably crying so bad that literally four of her friends had to bring her up to me afterwards. And she said, Reed, I got to tell you my story. She said, I've been in and out of foster homes my whole entire life. I've been rejected and abused by people that said they loved me. I had no hope. In fact, this year, I tried to commit suicide 3 times, she said. And as the tears were falling, I started to see a little bit of a smile on her face. She said, but Reed, when I heard you talking about this Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave, she said, Reed, I was so amazed about God's love for me. She said, Reed, tonight, and her smile got big, tonight I gave my life to Jesus. And then she said these powerful words, for the first time in my life, I finally have a reason to live. My friends, there's a lot of people you know, especially in this day and age, they're asking this question, why is God doing this, and how can I find a reason to live? People are turning to drugs or alcohol. In fact, I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal that said right now that 61% of Americans are lonely. And if you look across America, the suicide rate just continues to skyrocket. People are broken and they're empty and they're longing for the hope that only Jesus can offer. A lot of people, when it comes to sharing the gospel, got this little illustration here for you. A lot of people think, okay, this is how I'm going to share the gospel. But you know what? There's no power, is there? There's no power in this. You're just plugged in yourself. You're relying on your own strength. You need to have a source of power, right? And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, it says this, but you receive power. Say power. But you receive, there you go, that's good. But you receive, it's nice and deep. I wish I could talk that deep, but anyway, that's another story with my high voice. Anyhow, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you've been my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here's the thing I want to remind you, my friends. God saves, we share, right? In fact, say it. Say, God saves. Now say, we share. Okay. That word power in the Greek, it means dunamis. It's really like dynamite, right? And so when we plug into the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us powerfully to share the good news of Jesus, we share and God saves, right? So it's important you're connected and saying, Jesus, there's people in my life that need you. Give me your power, your strength to fearlessly proclaim your good news. So it's important we're plugged in to Jesus. You know, people tell me this all the time. They say, Reed, why should I share my faith? Let me give you two reasons. First, Jesus said it's a command, right? When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it wasn't a great suggestion, it wasn't a good idea, right? No, it was a commandment. He said, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But don't forget this last part. I love this at the end of the Great Commission. Jesus says this, but I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, right? So the Spirit of God works in us and through us to reach people for Jesus. He commands us to. And Jesus said in John 14:15, he said this, if you love me, you obey my command. So he commands us to share Jesus. And I tell people this all the time. Evangelism is really simple. Fall so deeply in love with Jesus, you can't help but tell others about him, right? You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, the love of Christ compels us. That word is like launching out. I don't have a problem talking about my wife, Carmen, my son, Aslan, my son, Tobin, and my daughter, Miley. Why? Because I love them. And so because of your love for Christ, it should launch you out to tell people that God loves them and wants a relationship with them, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the grave. It's like this. There was a little boy who was leaving church one Sunday morning, and he saw the pastor in the parking lot, and he ran up to him, and he grabbed him by the shirt, and he said, Pastor, I got a question for you. And the pastor's like, uh-huh. The little boy said, you mentioned in your message that I can invite Jesus in my heart. And the pastor's like, that's right. The little boy got a little confused. He scratched his head. He said, okay. When Jesus came, though, he was a man in a man's body, right? And the pastor's like, that's right. Poor little boy got really confused now. He said, okay. If Jesus came and he was a man in a man's body, and I'm just a little boy in a little boy's body, if I invite Jesus in my heart, he'll be sticking out all over. And the pastor looked at the little boy and he said, exactly. You see, my friends, I believe when you and I are in a close love relationship with Jesus, he'll literally be sticking out all over. And so I've entitled this message, Friends Bring Friends to Jesus. Paul writes in Philemon verse 6, he says, I pray you may be active. Say active. Okay, I pray you may be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You know, I grew up, I'm a California kid, and I hardly ever went to church. And as a young man, I was 17 years old, and I was asking that question, is there a God and does he care about me? I didn't find it through sports, didn't find it through any of those things. And I remember one day I was reading my Bible in my backyard. I just started reading my Bible, and I came to John 3:16. Which says, for God so loved the world, right? And I literally felt like it was saying, for God so loved Reed, that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you hear me say this all the time, all for Jesus, right? But it's more than a saying. It's really about my life's cry, my life change when I came to Christ at 17. Because like that young girl who was longing for a reason to live, when I gave my life to Christ at 17, for the first time in my life, I had purpose. For the first time in my life, I had hope. And I knew I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus. Now, I had no idea when I was 17 that I'd be doing what I'm doing. I mean, to this extent, you know, 100 countries, whatever. But I did know I wanted to spend my life serving Jesus. And when Jesus changes your life, when he takes you from lonely to loved, when he takes you from guilty to forgiven, when he takes you literally from death to life, when you trust Christ, man, it should just fire you up to tell others about him. And so when I gave my life to Christ at 17, like I said, all I want to do is tell people about the Lord. But here's the thing, I can't do it by myself. I need you, and you need me. And so in the short amount of time I have with you, I want to encourage you again, who do you know that needs Jesus, and what are you going to do about it? I say that because when I was going to school, before I came 17, right, I had a lot of friends that told me they loved Jesus. They go to church, but not one of them ever told me about Jesus, not one of them. And I think to myself, okay, if you really care about me, you would tell me about Jesus, right? Because heaven and hell's in the balance. You'd let me know how Jesus changed your life and how he can change my life, but not one of my friends ever told me about Jesus. And a lot of people say, well, Reed, if I share Jesus, people are going to complain with me or debate with me. You know, people can debate a lot of things. One thing they can't debate is your own story, how Jesus changed your life. And I believe the enemy has placed this lie in our heads as Christ followers with this thought that people don't want to hear about Jesus. My friends, that's simply not true. Not just in the crowds that I speak to, but the one-on-one people I talk to, whether I'm at Winco, the Chevron here on Commercial, the cheaper one up closer to Trader Joe's. When I'm at these places, people want to hear about Jesus. Now, do they all give their lives to the Lord? No, but are they open? Yes. And my friends, again, who do you know Jesus? Who do you know that needs Jesus, and what are you going to do about it? So three simple things tonight I want to share with you as we look at a passage from God's Word. If you have your Bible, turn there with me if you would. Sorry, his mask is kind of sweating in here. But I want to look at Mark chapter 2. So Mark chapter 2, if you want to pull that up on your phone, or if you have your Bibles, let's look at this passage. And like I mentioned, I entitled this, Friends Bring Friends to Jesus. So I'll read verses 1 through 12. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. They gathered on such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came to him bringing a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above them by digging through, and they lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now notice verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, well, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they said to one another, they praised God, and they said, we have never seen anything like this. Now, if you look at a Palestinian house, you're probably wondering how they got through the roof here. It was kind of like a thin layer of clay with branches, and so you could see how they were able to dig through. Now, the condition of the paralytic, nothing is definite, but the point is that his case was very urgent and serious enough that they were going to go through the roof to get their friend to Jesus. So three things I want to leave with you this evening. The first thing is this, that friends pray for their friends. Say pray. Pray. Okay, friends pray for their friends. People ask me, Reed, what's the key about reaching my friends for Jesus? I say there's three things. One, pray. Two, pray. Three, pray. Because I believe that when we pray, God moves, right? When we pray, God moves. I remember I was speaking at this event, and this man came up to me afterwards, and he was just bawling like, really, really emotional. And he said, Reed, I got to tell you my story. He said, my wife and I, when we got married, neither one of us knew the Lord. Within the first year of marriage, I came to Christ. My wife didn't. But he said, Reed, I prayed every day for 40 years that my wife would come to know Jesus. And he said, today, God answered my prayers. My wife just gave her life to Jesus. Every day for 40 years. That's some serious prayer. I want to tell you a cool story about my dad. Like I said, I came from a church background. I got to lead my mom to Christ when I was going to Corbin. as a student, and my dad just recently was speaking at an event, and he would never come hear me preach. I'd preach at festivals in California, that's where I'm from, or he'd never come hear me preach. And so I was speaking at a church actually here in Salem, and my dad was in town, and Carmen said, "Hey, why don't you come here read preach?" And so he decided to go, and normally he didn't. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And so at the end of the message, after I had preached, my dad came up and told me how he wanted to give his life to Jesus and begin a new life in Christ. And that's my dad. And I've been praying for my dad every day since I came to Christ at 17, and now I'm 46. So that was last year, I was 45. So I say that with you is we never give up on praying for people, right? We never give up on people because we never give up on God, right? And maybe you have a loved one. How many of you have someone very close that you know that doesn't know Jesus? Let me see your hands, okay? Quite a few of you. Take it from me, praying for my dad, and I want to make this clear too. Just because you pray every day doesn't mean your loved one's going to come to Jesus. Again, God saves, we share. But I believe there's a spiritual battle over the people's hearts that you know that need Jesus, and so we must continue to pray, okay? Now, the scripture doesn't say that the friends pray, but I imagine that they loved him and they were praying for him enough that they would do whatever it takes to get him to Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing, to pray continually. And it's so important that you and I pray and we seek the Lord and we pray for the people we know that need Jesus. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is maybe right now on your phone or somewhere you can write down is who has God been putting on your heart this evening as I've been speaking? Who do you know that needs Jesus again and what are you going to do about it? Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, a loved one. I encourage you to write down their name. And I want to challenge you for the next 30 days, okay? That you pray every day and pray two things. One, that they'll come to know Jesus, which God will give them an open heart. But secondly, pray that God will give you an open door to share Jesus with them. Because I believe when you give God an open heart, he'll give you an open door to share the Lord. So we're going to pray, okay? Secondly, friends plan to reach their friends. Say plan. Plan, okay? 1 Peter 3:15 says this, it says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, this is very important. No one wants to be preached at, they want to be loved on, right? There's a big, big difference. And I'm a strong believer in what I call friendship evangelism, where you take the time to build relationships with people, love them, build that love relationship with them, right, so they can trust you, and then share the good news of Jesus with them. I think it's so important that relationships are hard work, right? Same thing with building relationships with people that don't know the Lord. You gotta love on them, you gotta build that relationship. And then when God gives you that open door, share Jesus with them. Colossians 4:5 says this, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. You see, these friends of the paralytic, they had plan A, there was no plan B, and their plan A was simply this, no matter what, we're going to get our friends to Jesus. You see, when you have that sense of urgency, and these friends knew that their friend didn't have long to live, I imagine, and they had heard the miracles, how Jesus had been making the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and they knew that they, no matter what, that Jesus was the only hope for their friend. The local doctors couldn't do it, no one. Jesus alone was the hope for their friend. And my friends, it's the same thing, right? Jesus alone is the hope of your friend, because the Bible says God made all of us for a relationship with him. But the Bible says sin, which means to rebel against God. That word sin literally means to miss the mark. Like if I were to put a target over here, every time I'd shoot at that target, I'd miss. Because God's target is perfection, it's holiness. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but more significantly spiritual death. And the Bible says, because of your sins, you're separated from a holy God. But the good news is that God loved us enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross in our place for our sins. They put nails through his hands and through his feet. And I always tell people, if you ever question God's love for you, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus was loving you. He was taking all of your guilt, all of your sin, all of your shame on himself. Just like when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, but 3 days later he rose again. And tonight Jesus Christ is alive. He's the hope of the world. And God in his wisdom and in his plan wants to use your life to make a difference for eternity. So how can you prepare to reach your friends for Jesus? couple quick things. One, memorize the Word of God. I really encourage you to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. So the Spirit of God, like I talked about the power, right? Plug it in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and uses it, as the Bible says in Hebrews 4, like a sword to convict people of their sins and draw them to Jesus. Another step is sharing your story, telling people how Jesus changed your life. What was your life like before you came to know Jesus? When did you come to know Jesus? And how has Jesus made a difference in your life? And I want to teach you a really quick tool right now. Put up your hand. Put up your hand in the air like you just don't care. Anyway, so I call this the hand of hope. It's a great tool I've used, really, people of all ages. So first thing is your thumb, okay? God made us for a relationship with him. Say that. God made us for a relationship with him. Okay, here's the next finger. Sin separates us from God. Say that. Sin separates us from God. Keep the rest of your fingers up before I go to the middle finger, okay? Third thing is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. Say that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. Okay, fourth finger. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Say that. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And then the fifth finger is, would you like to begin a relationship with Jesus now? So say that. Would you like to begin a relationship with Jesus now? Now, if they don't respond, you can slap them with the hand of hope. Just kidding. Hopefully you can high-five them. But anyway, and then you can see there's some great verses to go along with that. If you can see that, I can get you a copy of that later if you need it. But the hand of hope is a great way to share Jesus, to have a plan. Let me tell you about this. I love to see how God is moving around the world. One thing with us is we travel, like I said, all over. But with COVID, we haven't been able to travel. But here's an amazing thing I want to encourage you with. When God closes one door, he opens another. So we're doing a big festival in Pakistan. We're supposed to do it, but we had to move it out. And so there's this satellite TV program. We partner with Pakistan that launches out from Pakistan into 79 countries. And these 79 countries are all in the 1040 window. You're like, Reed, what's the 1040 window? It's a longitude, latitude of the most unreached parts of the world. Think Saudi Arabia, think Iran, think Iraq, Afghanistan, China, that whole little window in there. So we started doing that April. People were locked in their homes, not literally, but because of COVID. So we'd preach the gospel. I'd preach it, we'd translate it, and it'd launch out in different languages from Pakistan, like I said, in 79 countries. We've had over 70,000 people call the TV station. We've been partnering with Campus for Crusade for Christ and local house pastors. And we've had over 50,000 people come to Christ. 80% are Muslims and Hindus, including this gentleman here who is a Muslim Iman leader. Now, if you don't know who Iman is, anyone know who Iman leader is in the Muslim faith? Okay, very high up. So this gentleman was in the Taliban area. We can't post any of this because it's so private. We've had five people in Saudi Arabia come to Jesus. So this man is a high-ranking Muslim official, like I said, in the Taliban area of Afghanistan and Pakistan. A lot of people have been talking about how, you know, Jesus has been appearing to Muslims in dreams. You've been hearing maybe some things like that. But this guy just gets prompted to watch this TV station where I'm preaching. He comes to Christ. He calls the TV station. When you're a high-ranking Muslim and you come to Christ, there's immediate death bounty on your head. So we had to take him along with the other pastors, because they put a bounty on his head too, into an underground house church bunker where right now they're discipling him underground because they're trying to take him out after he came to Christ. And so I want to encourage you to pray for my brother. And I say that because I want you to realize that God is moving all around the world. People all around the world are coming to know Jesus. This is exciting times. You know, we just had all those people praying. Franklin Graham's a good friend of mine. I know a lot of people think politically, whatever, but to see what God did was people were praying in Washington, people are praying across our country, and it's exciting times. So I just want to share that to encourage you how God is moving around the world. Okay, thirdly and finally, because my time is pretty much up. So friends pray, friends plan, but thirdly, friends persevere, okay? Persevere. Now, can you imagine you finally get your friend to Jesus? You get to the house. It's packed, right? There's people literally falling out of the window. People are at front doors, probably in the yard. There's no way to get in. And you can imagine they could say, okay, forget it. We'll come back a different time. No. But can you imagine the conversation? No, man, our friend's not going to make it another day. We got to get him to Jesus. And one of them's like, well, hey, look, there's a staircase. Wait, I got a great idea. I don't know who owns this house, but let's do this. Let's bring our friend up to the roof. Let's tear open this guy's house, and let's drop him down to Jesus. He's like, great idea. Yeah. He's just like, what? So anyway, can you imagine you're sitting there and Jesus is talking, you're like, this is great, great teaching. All of a sudden something hits you on the head. You're like, what? You look up, it's like, whoa, here's his body being lowered down. But do you notice how Jesus acknowledged the faith of the friends? Did you catch that here? When Jesus saw their faith, okay, that's the faith of the friends. And Jesus healed them, did amazing things. But I really believe that Jesus cares about the people you know that need Jesus. And he sees you praying for the people in your life that you want to see in heaven with you. My friends, again, who do you know that needs Jesus? What are you going to do about it? So I encourage you to pray, plan, and to persevere, to don't give up. And I'll finish with this story. I was preaching in a place in Ethiopia, and it was a very hostile area. We were on the border of Sudan, and you know the history with Sudan and what's been happening there. It's the first time in 25 years they had an open-air festival. What that means is basically outside, a lot of people came and I preached. They hadn't had that in 25 years. I can find out why now. So I'm in the middle of sharing the good news of Jesus. There's several thousand people here. And right when I was calling people to come to receive Christ, about 500 guys that did not look happy came running at the stage towards me. Now, we had security there, but there's no way they're going to stand these people. And I've been to some pretty crazy places in this world, and I thought it was over. I mean, I had nowhere to go. It's like, okay, is there a tree I can pull Zacchaeus and jump up there? There's no way. I was like, what am I going to do? And so about 500 guys were running after me, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. And as they were coming to the stage, they just, it's almost like the Lord put a wall, and these people kind of separated, and were kind of banging and going crazy, but they calmed down. And the chief of police said, if you preach tomorrow night, they'll kill everybody. I said, whoa. But I was sitting on the stage, and I was just like, okay, Lord, right when I was calling people to Christ, look what happened. And I'm sitting in there, and this little boy came up to me, and let me tell you, this place, no one speaks English. No one writes English, no one speaks English. And this little boy came up to me, he's about 10 years old, same age as Aslan at the time. And he hands me this little note. And I opened the note, and in perfect English, it said this. It said, never give up. It said, never give up. And my friends, whether you're just trying to survive in this crazy time of COVID, I want to encourage you, don't give up. You know, don't give up. Maybe you have a loved one, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a grandson, granddaughter that doesn't know Jesus. Don't give up. We never give up on people. Why? Because we never give up on God. And God can soften the hardest of hearts. All right? Don't give up. Keep loving and sharing Jesus. Because God wants to use your life to make a difference for eternity. Can I just pray for us right now? If we just close our eyes and bow our heads. I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you just to pray for the people or the person that God has put on your heart right now that needs Jesus. Just pray two things. One, that God will give them an open door to respond to the gospel. And number two, that God will give you an open door to share Jesus with them. So do that for a moment. But secondly, maybe you're here this evening and you've never given your life to Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love towards us in this. That while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And when you simply come by faith and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry, but I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and rise again from the grave. When you believe and follow Jesus, the Bible says all of your sins are forgiven. You have a relationship with God, not a religion, a relationship. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart to help you live for Jesus. And you can be sure when you die, you go to heaven as opposed to hell. And so right now, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to invite you in the quietness of your heart to say this prayer with me. Now, this prayer is not what saves you. It's your faith in Jesus that does. Believe he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave. But simply, you can just pray this prayer with me right now if you want to begin a new life in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and to rise again from the grave. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all of my sins. Thank you for giving your life for me, Jesus, on the cross. Now by faith, I give my life to you. From this moment on, use my life for your glory, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. If you could just keep your eyes closed and your head bowed as we enter into a time of worship. But I just want to say this. If you just said that prayer with me to begin a relationship with Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three, okay? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. I see your hand here and your hand here as well and your hand here. Great. And you in the back too. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, great. Thank you. Great. So four of you. That's wonderful. Let me just pray and then we'll worship. Father, I want to thank you for those that just began a new life in you, God. I'm so thankful as your word says in John 1:12, yet to all receive them, Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So thank you for my new brothers and sisters that just came to know you tonight, God. We at Valley are so excited to have our new brothers, sisters, and you part of this body. So I just praise you and thank you for them, God. Lord, pray that you help them tell one of us about this decision, Lord, as we can help them grow in the relationship with Jesus now. But we just pray you bless them and keep them. God, we love you. And now as we enter in time of worship, we just want to thank you again for the cross and the empty tomb. God, we love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name.